Hey, besties.
Welcome to the BFF Bookcast.
We're your hosts, Teresa and Katie.
Before we jump in, we just want to remind everyone that what we discuss are our own thoughts and opinions. Just remember, we are here to have a good time.
And as always, please check trigger warnings before reading any books we will be discussing. And beware, we curse like the Bat Boys probably do during their annual snowball fight.
Hey, Tegan.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. So excited to be here.
We're so excited to have you. So for anybody who's listening and maybe is unfamiliar, we are here with Tegan Hunter today, who is the author. I've read the entire Carolina Comets series like a while ago. Love it. Obsessed. But today we're talking about The Seattle Serpents, book three. Congrats. I mean, that's already three books into that series. How does that feel?
It feels great. I feel like it's been such a long time coming because I had to push the release date back for this a little bit. So to have this book finally coming out, it's amazing. I'm so excited for it.
Yeah, we both like were like texting each other, like giggling about it.
I have a 16-month-old and a newborn. I don't know how I did this, but I finished this in like 48 hours. Yeah. I found ways. Like I was literally at one point, like my husband rolled over because we obviously take turns and we like to do feedings. And he's like, the baby's sleeping in your arms. I'm like, shut up. Like I had my Kindle up. He's like, what are you doing? Like you should be going to sleep. I was like, I can't. Like I'm reading.
I love that.
So sacrificing sleep because that's how much I was enjoying this.
Yeah. No, all of your books are so funny. I think something that I've loved in both series are the text conversations.
Yes.
Like the group chats.
You knocked that out of the park. I was belly laughing. Actually, can we talk about one of them?
We could talk about one of them.
And I'm going to give a little backstory. So when I first started dating my husband, I've known him most of my life. He's best friends actually with her husband. Who's my cousin. So like weird, interconnected,
yeah,
whatever. So we went away within like the first month of like dating. And he literally, I kid you not, literally just lifted his leg in front of me and just ripped ass. Just like completely, so you know where I'm going with this. So like, I really remember like looking at him, like I was beet red. I was embarrassed for him. He's like, what? Like, I like you. You like me. Like, I like to keep this going, but like, you're going to get all of me. So I'm like, okay. So like the fact that I'm page 9, Lawson, you guys ever had a fart feel like and it's going to change your life and you forget you're lying next to your girl. You just let it rip. I was pissing my pants off. I was like, Tom, you have to come read this. He's like, that's what I did. I was like, I know.
That was inspired by my husband, to be honest, because he just does whatever he wants.
And literally, yeah, my husband and I were literally out at a bar, an outdoor bar, granted, yesterday, and he farts, and I was like, we're in public, you animal, and he's like, oh, he's like, no one's sitting here, but okay.
I just love how we all can resonate with the first text conversation that happened between these men,
and it's always Lawson. It is always Lawson.
It is. I love him so much. I like as soon as my husband did that, I was like, that was such a Lawson thing to do. And I was like,
yeah,
I know where I'm gonna use this.
That's amazing.
No, I was not expecting to get Lawson in the second book. I don't know why. I was like, he's like such like a lovable character. I was like, she's going to make us wait until the end and then we're going to get Lawson. So when you dropped the second book, I was like, oh, never mind. We're not going to have to wait. Like he's here. Like, and it was amazing.
Everyone loves a golden retriever.
Yeah. But he's like, I don't know. I mean, all the characters, you know, like they present a certain way. Same thing with Hayes.
Yeah.
He presents a certain way and then you get to know more of him and you dig deeper. And like, there's just all these other layers that you don't expect.
Yeah, I love doing that. I love, like, you know, showing the character in, like, a certain way. And then when it gets to their book, it's, like, totally different. And I feel like because a lot of people are like that, too, like, in real life. Like, they present themselves in a certain way. But once you get to know them, you're like, oh, wow, they are nothing like what I expected.
So yeah.
I really love doing that with my books.
Yeah. And Quinn was like that, too.
I agree. Yeah.
I felt like she was so relatable, too. Kind of this – I don't want to – I mean – self-proclaimed a little bit of a mess, but she's just like a younger girl who's trying to figure her shit out, who like I don't know, maybe made some like bad decisions when she was younger, but nothing that you can't come back from, obviously. Just kind of decisions that we've all probably made. Maybe spent a little too much money somewhere, or
yeah.
Or this one, you know, getting a degree and then deciding you want to not do that and getting another degree.
I'm just going to keep my hand up. Quinn, I literally was like, Quinn's my spirit animal. But like, thank you, because I can't stand it when like, I mean, I can, I'm being a brat, but like a lot of people can't figure out what they want to do in life. And like that, I'm 35. No, I'm not. You're 35.
Yes.
I'm 34. I'm 34 and I still don't know what I want to do in life. Like, I don't have a dream job. Like, I just have a job that pays my bills. Like, I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
But like, it took me a while to get here. A lot of debt, a lot of school debt, a couple degrees, but like, I'm here.
Yeah, like, where did you get the inspiration from? Because, I mean, not that there's anything wrong with figuring it out, but I think she's so different from the other, like, you know, from Rory. Oh my God, I'm drawing a complete blank.
Auden.
Yes, thank you. I was like, oh my God. yeah, completely different as far as, like, career-wise goes. And it's, like, it's nice to see kind of the juxtaposition of that, because I feel like sometimes you always get these, like, not that Quinn's like, Quinn is a badass in her own right, but she's still figuring it out. So like, where, I guess, did you get that like inspiration to kind of show a different kind of character in that aspect?
I like to mix it up a lot. I try to make everybody, you know, different. I felt like I had written two really strong, not that Quinn's not strong, but like two heroines that like knew what they wanted from a pretty young age. Very driven. And with Quinn, I really wanted to do something different, just to not just to mix it up, but also because that is realistic. There's a lot of people out there who don't know what they want to do for a long time. Like, my husband was in, he was in the Army National Guard, and like not very long into that, he was like, I don't like this. Like, I want to be active duty. I want to do that. And then they were like, sorry, but you can't be active duty here. You're going to have to go to a different branch. So then he joined the Marine Corps and he did that. Okay. I know. He did that. And he only served, I think, like I think it ended up being like 5 years or something afterward. Instead of making it a career, he had to medically separate from the military and everything. But then he was like, well, I'm going to go to school afterward. And I was like, okay, cool. He did not finish high school. And then he went to another school. He did not finish that school either. And then he started the process for another school. He did not even end up going to that school. And this was after, like, previously, before, like, joining the military at all, he tried to go to school two more times. And he just doesn't know what he wants to do. He still doesn't know. He's just been kind of sitting around for the last 4 or 5 years doing nothing. And he doesn't know. And I'm like, you know, it's hard. Okay. We don't all know what we want to do. And
no,
I feel like it's realistic. It's like, why should we be expected to have our lives completely figured out when we're 18? That's
exactly
100%.
No, 100%. And I love seeing that kind of like portrayed in a book. I think a lot of people just in general, they maybe feel like, I say this all the time. Everyone's like, oh, like, what's your dream job? And I'm like, I still don't know what I want to do with my life. And I'm 35. Like, so it's like nice to see a character, because it's very rare that we get characters that are like that. And kind of, I mean, like, she's kind of unapologetically herself in a lot of ways, but she does have a lot of, like, confidence issues in that department, because she's constantly kind of being put down by her family. And, you know, it's always kind of like been like this like running joke about her and what she's doing. And instead of getting the support that she is like longing for, she just kind of,
or even just needs.
Yeah.
Like, even like, I like the moment between her mom and like Adam in the end also, when he kind of confronts her and she's like, of course, like we love her and like support her. But, like, so, we all, I think, kind of lose, like, even though you think it, doesn't mean you're saying it. And, like, I think it was, like, a nice touch in to be like, wait, hold on. Like, maybe I should even, like, check in with some other people to be like, hey, like, you're doing great. Like, because, like, I always had, like, my parents are always like, whatever you want to do. Like, they vocalize it all the time. So, like, I didn't feel so bad hopping around. Because, like, I too have been to numerous colleges. And though, like, looking back, like, yeah, it sucks financially because, like, my student loan debt is outrageous. But at the same time, too, like, I knew, like, my parents always had my back and didn't care. They're like, you're figuring it out. That's cool. Whereas, like, my sister, like, knew what she wanted to do since, like, she could speak. So, I don't know. It was just, like, nice to, like kind of, like, see that and, like, a parent figure, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I loved her mom. And
her mom was so cute.
Yeah. The relationship.
I want Bess.
Yeah. I was going to say Bess.
And she can come bake for me, too, because I don't know how to bake. So. I could fuck up chocolate chip cookies. So
that scene was really important for me to have in there, because I, you know, like you said, sometimes like we know, but we don't like know, you know. And it's nice to hear sometimes. I mean, it's just like with like your partner, it's just nice to hear that they think that you're pretty, or that they think you're smart, or that they love you. It's just nice to hear, and it's nice to be reassured. So that scene was really important for me.
Yeah, and I think it shows like a lot too, like how Quinn interacts with Flora.
Yeah.
Like you see like a lot of like how her interactions with her own family kind of shape her interactions with Flora. And she's kind of, you know, always boosting her up, and you get to see Flora kind of go from this like very quiet, reserved kid into like a full blown 7-year-old by the end. I loved like watching her progression.
Little flower. Oh my God. I like melted. The minute we met her, I was like, I'm going to be a sap for this child. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like when Hayes was like denying her the kid, I'm like, this motherfucker better get her a kid.
I was also annoyed as I was writing. I was like, listen, you asshole, you better get her this cat. Like, how dare you?
It's so funny how, like, as a writer, like, you're writing these scenes, but like, you're also, like, mad at your own characters, but it's you writing them. Like, it's just, like, it's such a, like, what a full circle moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, they definitely do their own thing sometimes, and I'm just, I get as lost in it as everybody else does. I'm just, like, I have the same reactions. There's like a few books of mine where some scenes that readers don't quite agree with. And I'm like, don't worry. As I was writing it, I was mad too. Like, yeah. I get it.
It's not just you. It's me too.
Yeah, because you can't write, you know, just like a perfect cat.
Yeah.
It would be so boring if there was just perfection across the board. And you get to see Hayes grow and like learn. So it was a very good like learning moment for his character to kind of understand Flora more and like understand what was going on with his brother. Before he, you know.
Also, like, communication, too. Like, I feel like that played a big part throughout the story, which obviously was the issue, per se, between him and Quinn. But, like, even for, but I love how, like, Flora schools him to, like, use your words, Uncle Adam. Like, but it's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I really, that was, I know, like, miscommunications, like, a really, people aren't sure if they love it or not. But even with like Quinn and Hayes and their, you know, issue, I don't even know if it's like full blown miscommunication, but it kind of goes back to like what, like, sometimes you just need to hear things. Like, you're not always on the same page as somebody. How like Quinn wasn't on the same page about how her parents felt about her future and all of that stuff. So she just needed to actually like hear the words from Hayes. He knew what was going on, but she didn't know what was going on. She just needed to hear the words.
Yeah, I related to her though in that moment too, her being like, I'm getting out of here. Because I've been in like situations like that before where I'm like so mad or upset that I just like, I'm like, I'm gonna leave. Like, I can't be here right now. Yeah. And I love that she like goes to George's, like her like one like safe space and she's eating her cookies and it's a miscommunication, which I know people get like so angry about because it's like, if you just talked, but we all do it. Oh, yeah. We all do it.
For sure. Like, we all think that we're on the same page with somebody else and we're like 10 chapters ahead of them. They're like, where are you right now? Where are we right now? And that's definitely what it was.
Yeah. I think something that things that I dislike in a lot of characters are because like I see myself in it and it's like almost like I'm being called out. Yeah. So I feel like in that situation, I was like, oh, I'm being called out right now.
Because, oh, I do
like,
that all the time. Tom's supposed to read my mind. My husband's supposed to know exactly what I'm thinking.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Like, duh. But yeah, like, I was like, oh my God. Like, if you just spoke to her and I'm like, shit, if you just like telling your husband a couple things a couple times too, you'd save yourself some headaches, but hey.
No. And I loved, like, I just loved the way that they like their relationship came together. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want to say it's like enemies, but there's like obviously like a dislike there. Yes. And then there's like the reluctance of like, oh, we want each other, but like I shouldn't, which is so great. We always say tension and banter is so good. And then you just write like amazing spice. The payoff is always so worth it.
Yes.
I love to hear that.
Yes. And it's not even like just one. You get like, we have multiple payoffs. I'm like, okay. This is great.
I was talking with a friend about this, and she was trying to like guess how many spicy scenes there were, and I was like, she's like, oh, there's probably like two, and I was like, believe it or not, they go at it quite a bit.
You know what? They do, but I feel like they didn't. Like I feel like sometimes like people do get caught up in a lot of spice where it's like almost like a. Then you start like kind of skimming through. She's like, all right, like I get it. But like, I don't know, like this just like hit for me differently.
Yeah, because it was very much like it added to the story. We were saying this yesterday about like a different book. We were like, sometimes you like lose the plot.
Yeah.
When the spice gets in. Yeah. You don't do that. Like it's the relationship and like the sex scenes or everything, it's adding to the relationship between the characters. I feel
like it made sense for them too. Like yeah. You're kind of like, there was an attraction instantly, like even though there was like some animosity and like some hesitancy there, then like you're kind of like in secret, which like that in itself is kind of fun. Like they're obviously having fun, so like yeah. I think he's just like building and surmounting to like so much more. But then like even the one time he does go to her room, like he's going to her room also because like he wants to go to her because like it's her, like there's comfort there. Mm-hmm. I don't know, like I think the spice was perfect, the perfect amount, if you will.
Yeah,
it was lovely.
I'm a big believer in not adding spice just to fluff the book up. Like, yeah. It has to advance the characters and the plot. And even if that means, like, less spice in a book, then that's fine. Because I don't want them to just bang for the sake of banging.
Yeah.
So that's always really, really important for me. So,
no. I'm
glad to hear it worked out perfectly.
Yeah, no, I was like, this is good.
Yeah, no, we always discuss, like, the books before. And then I'm like, no, because then I'm gonna forget like what I want to say. If we already talk about it, it sounds repetitive. But we were talking about it, and I was like, okay, we'll save it. But yes, agree. So I guess like just in general, obviously, you did the Carolina Comets was your first like hockey romance series.
Yes,
and I guess like so, what got you into like the hockey romance genre? Cause I feel like you started writing them like before like the big like hockey romance like boom. So like, are you a hockey fan or were you just like interested in like the genre?
I am a real life hockey fan.
Okay.
I love hockey. My husband and I are originally from St. Louis. So
okay.
We are huge St. Louis Blues fans.
Yeah.
We love them so much.
Are you shaking over here?
No, the Blues are good. I'm a big Devils fan. So, I mean, obviously anybody but, like, the Rangers, Flyers, we're good.
Fair. Yeah. We actually drove from South Carolina to, like, St. Louis several times for hockey games, just to go to hockey games. Like, that's how much we love it. So when we moved out here to Seattle, we became half season ticket holders for the Kraken. So we go up to Seattle like all the time for games. I constantly have games pulled up on my computer watching them. Like I'll have like three or four going at a time.
Oh my God.
Like, I am always watching hockey. Like it's like just this morning, the first thing on like my news feed was some like hockey news, and I was just like, oh my God, like I'm all over it all the time.
Same.
So I, when it came to like writing hockey romance, I was really scared because I was scared to take this thing that I loved and this other thing that I loved and like mesh them together because I didn't want to lose interest in either one. But I was just kind of at a point where I needed something different. I needed to do something different. And I just went for it. And you're right. I did publish like right before the huge hockey boom. So I got in there right on time.
No, you're an OG. I figure I had a feeling that you were a real hockey fan. And I like, I'm just going to say it, which maybe it's like not the right thing to say, but I have said this before just on the podcast. So if you're listening, you've heard me go off on rants, but I feel like you can really tell when an author is a hockey fan versus somebody who like maybe wrote a book because it was popular at the time. And that's really what drew me to your like original series in general. Like I picked up Puck Shy is the first one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I immediately fell in love because I was like, okay, like, it's a romance and it's fun and it's spicy and it's whatever, but the hockey elements, if they're like glaringly inconsistent, it kind of takes you out. Like I will suspend disbelief for the story 100%. But sometimes I'm like, this just wouldn't happen. Like New Jersey would not play New York in the finals, you know?
No.
And it'll take me right out. But I was like, I could tell that she knows what she's talking about.
Yeah, yeah, the accuracy, obviously. I mean, and I don't know everything about the game, so I still spend a long time researching stuff. We have toured Climate Pledge Arena, where the Seattle Kraken play, 3 times this year. Like, let's go do this. Let's get more inspiration. Let's, you know, let's figure out, like, where exactly they come in the arena, like, where they park at, how all of this stuff works, like... I'm really big on making sure it's as accurate as possible. Obviously, I don't know everything because, well, I'm not a hockey player or married to one. So I clearly have to make some stuff up. But yeah, it's really important for me to like for the hockey to be as accurate as possible.
Yeah, I appreciate that. As a fellow fan, I appreciate it.
And I always like to make sure there's actual hockey in the hockey romance book.
Yes, that was
like hockey adjacent.
Yes. I actually felt like I meant to text you this. And I was like, honestly, if we text about it, it's going to continue. And like you said, I also have just like serious mom brain right now. So I'm like, I don't want to like repeat myself 1800 times or like not say something. But like, I literally was like, at one point I was like, oh, I'm watching a game, but I'm reading it. Like, this is kind of cool. Like, I don't think I've read, because again, mm-hmm. she loves hockey romances. So she's like, oh, try this book, try that book. I've never read one like that.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is kind of cool. Like, you did it so well where I didn't feel like so overwhelmed. Like I could actually, and again, I'm not really a hockey fan.
No, we went to Nashville for a game for my 30th birthday. And there was like a group of 6 of us. I look over, Katie's asleep at the end.
In my defense, it went to like how many overtimes?
Okay, there's only one overtime. She goes, how many overtimes? One, because it's regular season hockey. Just one, and it's 5 minutes.
All right, fine. They took me at the end, and I had no one to talk to. So I fell asleep. I mean, I've also fallen asleep at a UFC fight.
I've fallen asleep at a baseball game.
Yeah, that's boring. So I believe that. Full support.
Yeah,
that.
I always say I love baseball games, but what I mean is I love drinking beer in like the sun. You know what I mean? Like when I say I love baseball, I'm like, I love getting an ice cold beer and like sitting in the sun.
Yeah, we went to our, it was our first Mariners game just mm-hmm. like last week, actually. I took a book with me. I don't blame you.
There's a lot of downtime.
Yeah. There's just and honestly, like, what if there's like a no hitter? Like then like yeah. like people are like, that's amazing. I'm like, but is it? Like where's the action?
Yeah.
there did end up being like 2 or 3 home runs. So there was that. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, but honestly, I was there for the food. Like
yeah.
That's oh yeah. I was there.
Chicken fingers, french fries.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
Maybe a pretzel. Like, yeah.
Yep.
So what is, like, your writing process, like, when you're, like, getting ready to start a new book? Is there an outline? Do you know exactly, like, where you want it to go? Or are you kind of just, like, surprising yourself as you're writing?
A little bit of everything.
Okay. That's pretty cool.
I know that's weird, but I usually have like the beginning, the middle, and the end worked out. And then I kind of let them take me wherever they want to take me throughout the book. There are times though when like they take me on such a path where I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what am I doing? What are you doing?
Like, yeah.
I'm not working out. And then we kind of have to like, you know, scale it back or start over. And then I actually start outlining for real and figure stuff out. My traditionally published books are definitely more outlined and structured than my mm-hmm. indie stuff. Because I have a little bit more freedom that way. But yeah, I'm all over the board when it comes to that kind of thing. I know some authors have like, oh, I have to have like a 10-page outline and I know every chapter. And I'm like, we're just going to see what happens today.
Do you, how about for your character? Like obviously for like the guys, you kind of have like your guys, I would assume probably like lined up as to like mm-hmm. who each person's going to be. Do you like kind of then craft the female around them, or do you, you're again, is it more of like a, I'm going to write whoever I write and call it a day?
I think that's a little bit mixed too. Like it kind of depends on which guy it is and mm-hmm. which heroine it is. Some of them I know for sure. Like I knew that it was Auden and Hutch, Lawson mm-hmm. and Rory, and then I knew it was going to be Hayes and somebody new. I didn't want her to be part of, you know, the little group that was already happening. I wanted her to be somebody new. So for her, she just kind of came out of nowhere. And as soon as I started like writing, I was like, ah, I know who you are. I know what you're about. And then it kind of like really spiraled from there.
Yeah. That's cool. And then we know obviously that we're getting Fox next, and it's a whirlwind kind of romance, which I know you're not going to be able to spoil anything for us, but have we met who the girl is?
We have. Yes.
We have. Okay. Yes. I won't go guessing yet, but I was gonna say I have a lot of things to think about now that I know that. Okay, that's helpful. That's helpful.
Yes, we've met his heroine.
Okay, I'm like now like my like the gears are turning and yeah. I'm gonna stop. That's all we're here for. Let's not
do that to her.
I'll be texting Katie later and I'll be like, oh my god,
do you think
it's George?
George would love it. He'd be all over it.
I mean, I don't blame him. I love Fox. His little like howdy. Oh my god, stop.
Oh my god, I know, he's so cute.
So cute.
Every time you made fun of him, it was so great.
Oh, it's true. Also, like just the way you wrote, I feel like again, like guy talk is very different than girl talk. Yes. I don't know how I would do trying to make up guy talk. You'd probably be good at it. I don't think I would. I think I'd get too like nerdy. But like you did like guy talk in text form, like pretty. I was like, I feel like it's like believable. Like this is definitely what they're talking. Like, this is definitely what they talk about. Yeah. Like I'm for sure believing this.
They're all just like ribbing each other. Yeah. And it's just so unserious.
Oh yeah.
But I love. I don't know, like, but even like I love like Adam's little like it just like everything fit perfectly for like who he was, kind of like annoyed but like also like wanted to be there, like what about me, like
yeah that does fit him perfectly. I love writing texting banter. It's my absolute favorite thing to write.
You do it very well.
Sometimes I spend more time on that than I do like the sex scenes. Like, I'm like, this has to be perfect. It has to like lead into the conversation. It mm-hmm. can't just be about nothing. It has to also feed into the plot just a little bit, but not like in a boring way. They still have to like have their own voices. It's a whole thing. It takes me a while to craft them for sure.
I enjoyed it.
I can understand. Well, because you have to also get in the head of like each one of them. Yeah. Like, is this something that Keller would say? I mean, if it's something mean to Lawson, yes. But like, is this like Locke coming in and then like Hutch coming in and they're all like, yes, Captain. Like you have to kind of get in each character's head. So I feel like that would take a lot longer. Yeah.
That's not just like a, let's, and like, I feel like as a reader, you can appreciate when the text banter does make sense for the rest of the books. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm a sucker for banter. Give me all the banter all the time. But like sometimes again, just like throw in banter. It's like, but what's that about? Like, what, like, was, is there a meaning behind it? Are we getting something later? Is it just like there to be there? Like, which is fine, but like yours does honestly kind of like, it just kind of like, I feel like weaves everything together for like the next couple chapters, which is awesome.
Yeah. And you don't even, I mean, I didn't even have to read whose name it was.
No, you kind of like knew
exactly,
out who.
Like, I knew exactly who it was by what they were saying. Like, I stopped reading, like, oh, Lawson said, yeah. I was like, oh, yeah. I think you know who they are because you get them, like, so, you know the character so well. So, like, the way that you write them is very, like, I don't even have to know who's sending the text. I know exactly by what they're saying who it is.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate your compliment.
Yeah, of course.
We didn't talk about Adam yet, though.
We really haven't talked about Hayes yet. And
I'm like, I think you did. So like,
he's so cute.
He's so cute. I really liked how you get the, like you said, you get this one persona of like this bad boy, like player, mm-hmm. just always in trouble, cleans up real quick for Flora. Angel uncle. But like,
and he's young.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have like a good, he doesn't have a good family. Like, he's really out of his depth with Flora because he doesn't know what it was like to have like great parents. Girl, like, he really does not know what to do with this little girl, but he wants to be good for her so bad mm-hmm. that like you just love him from chapter
when
one.
When Flora says "I love you," like about him, like not like to him, but like when she's like, "Oh, I love Uncle Adam," like I was like in my mind, I was like, he's definitely like, I'm waiting for his reaction because he's definitely sitting there like,
for sure. Their whole dynamic was just the sweetest thing ever. I first of all, I couldn't even imagine being put in that situation.
Like, no.
I don't want children. Like, my husband doesn't want kids. Like, we're team no kids. But if you mm-hmm. want kids, more power to you. Like, that's fine. So writing a character who didn't want children or any sort of commitment like that, and then like being like, you know, thrust into this new role in their life. I don't know. I tried to sort of write it like maybe how I would react to it, like mm-hmm. freak out for a couple of months and then ease into it some.
But I think it was a good read. Like, obviously, like, the brother did what he did. Like, he comes from a very screwed up family. But like, again, I feel like you didn't write it where it was like, it like harped on him or like it was constantly brought up like, well, like, this is what your past was like. Like, it was kind of like, yeah, this is what you dealt with. Sure. Like, mm-hmm. this is the situation you're in. You're opting to help this child because you know what you've been through. Mm-hmm. But I liked how it was written. Like, I feel like we didn't like sit here and be like, oh, poor Hazy.
No, we knew like, what he was going through.
Yeah.
But he was, and even though he had like obviously some reluctance to the situation, he jumps right in. Like,
he tries.
He's trying so hard the whole time. Yeah. And like, I want children. And if somebody just like handed me a 7-year-old and I didn't even know it existed, I would have,
me a newborn. I still was like, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah. Like, so I can't even imagine, especially at his like age. Yeah. He's like 25, right?
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it says he's like 25 or something. But again, very young. He's he's a bachelor. He has no responsibilities. He's a playboy. He's like whatever. And then he's given a 7-year-old that he didn't even know existed. And he really like, it took him a while to really get like to start understanding, but he jumped right in. He was like, all right, I'm buying a house. Yeah. I'm like going to be responsible. Like, I'm going to get a better car because I can't, you know, drive around in my Porsche. Like, he's very, besides the food, which he's
monologue, at least it can, like, he acknowledges, like, I can't keep feeding this kid donuts, but like, this is all we're going to do right now because it's all I know. It was cute, like the play set thing, like, oh, they go to the parks on like Sunday and I loved like the two, like the three of them together, like then how like he witnessed Quinn with her, and I feel like even Quinn probably like saw maybe not herself in Floor, but more of like how like kind of like what you were saying before, like how can I like pep you up to like like I don't even think Quinn realized that she was doing it, but it was almost like embedded in her because it's what she's craving. So it's like this kid probably wants it too. Like, what child doesn't want to be told like, oh, like you're important and like you're great and you're wonderful and like you do you. Like, let's do these things. It was, I don't know. This was like a really sweet. It was a sweet, sweet story for like the three of them together.
It really was.
Yeah, it was major found family vibes with this, for sure.
Yeah. But I also like, even like in the end, because you're right. Like, this guy didn't want kids. Like, you. Again, like, I don't mind this in books. Like, it's totally, I welcome it. But, like, I love how some epilogues, yours, like, doesn't have, like, this grand wedding. Like, or we're, you know, we're this. And, like, here's this baby that's on the, like, that's okay. Like, it's okay just to be the three of you. And, like, if there's more coming, cool. And if there's not, and that's it, like, amazing also. Like, mm-hmm. I like things like that, too. Like, so it was, like, I feel like their whole start to finish their story, like, made sense. Like, it was wrapped up with a nice bow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed this. This is a good one.
Yeah. When it comes to epilogues, I like you were saying, like, everybody's, you know, married with children and all of that stuff, and like a lot of books, I try really hard to still keep it authentic to the characters. Like,
yeah,
like, for example, like in Glove Save, the hero, he also doesn't want children or a relationship or literally anything, and he gets with this single mom, and he's like, well, all right, I guess this is what I'm doing with my life now. But he doesn't.
I love like, Greer.
Greer's the best.
No, he's my favorite.
he's my favorite Carolina Comet, for sure.
I was gonna ask
so much.
Yeah, I really love him.
But in the end of the book, he's still like, you know, like, yeah, I can do this, but like, this is all I'm doing. Like,
yeah,
we're not.
This is it. This is what you see.
Not do that. This is our family. This is what we got. This is what we're working with. And I love that. I love when characters still stay authentic to themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that too. And not to harp on Greer, but because I love him so much. Like, I just think he's the funniest. I think he's not even like he's unintentionally funny because he's so grumpy.
So grumpy.
Amazing.
Yes.
I love a grump.
He's so grumpy. He's like, well, Keller even talked about it. They're talking about, you know, their grumpiness and everything. Yeah, they're on very similar levels for sure.
They are. That's why I'm really looking forward to Keller's book.
I can't wait for Keller's book. I am ready for that book. I have been ready for that book since I started writing The Serpents.
That's like, amazing.
I am so jazzed for it.
I want to get too far ahead of ourselves. Is he going to be last, or is he after Fox, or do we not know, or can you not tell us?
He's last.
Darn it. Okay, that's fine.
That's a good wrap up.
But also now I'm ready. So now I'm like, okay, I mean, I'm excited for Fox, Howdy. I'm excited for Locke, the old. I love how he's like the old man. I think he's my age. So like, let's relax. Okay.
I know. I'm 33. And
everything. Okay. It's so funny though, because it is so very like, hockey, right? Yeah. I mean, athletes in general, but I think that like they're like all the young kids, and like 90% of the Devils team, I mean, they're all younger than me now, but like they're all babies, and then there's like
there's one or two remaining.
Dougie Hamilton's like 32, and they're like, they like look up to him, like, and I'm like, he's younger than me, like, ew, like, no.
Yeah, and that's true for hockey. You know, once you hit like that, you know, 32 age range, you're just mm-hmm. you're the old guy on the team. Everybody's younger and faster, and you know, better than you are.
Yeah.
And so once you get to be like Crosby's age, you're like 36, 37. You're ancient, and
you are literally ancient in sports.
Yeah.
No. You're a veteran.
I know. My husband, like, he doesn't. I really love hockey. He watches it with me, but he's like just. It's funny because he played sports, but he's just like not like a sports fan. Mm-hmm. And we were like, I was watching something, and he was like, he's like, Crosby's still playing? He's like, how old is he now? And I was like, he's pushing it. I was like, but he's still really good. And like, I mean, you're a Blues fan, so Marty Brodeur, he played until he was like 40 as a goalie. That's like kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like they're getting older, but like also getting younger, which is weird. Like, I feel like Crosby had one of the best seasons he's had in a hot minute last season. He played really well. So it's crazy just, you know, how you can be so old.
I know.
You're
like
in your mid-30s.
Well, you just don't like, yeah, you don't, he, I mean, even, I mean, switching gears for like football for 2 seconds, but like Aaron Rodgers, like the fact that this man who is closing in on 40, the fact that he has recovered faster from an Achilles tendon rupture, those bad boys take you out. You're normally done. Like, you're like not even a season, like you're retired. Like, those are so hard to come back from, but now you can't. I also just think it's like modern medicine, but I won't bring us down that path because I can.
That's one of her degrees.
That's one of my degrees. I'm done. I digress. So this is coming out the 12th. My dates are all screwed up.
Yes.
Okay.
I was going to say that's, I was like, wait, what's today? September 3rd. Yes. So yes, we're recording this early. This is coming out on the, we have to do this like in our heads all the time. Cause like, when we pre-record, we're like, wait,
what day are we on?
What day is it? This is coming out on the 12th. Exciting. I always hate doing this, but I have to ask, cause I know everyone's going to want to know. Do we have like an estimated date for Fox's book?
Yes.
I don't think she can say.
It's actually for pre-order.
Okay.
I want to say it's April 10th.
I think. Girl, you're busy. You've been writing.
I feel like it's so far away, but I have another standalone rom-com coming out in February.
Ooh.
To really fill that gap, so.
Okay.
Yeah, no, you're busy. I was going to say, you put out books a lot and very quickly. And like, well, I guess, what is that process like? Like, you go from like, you know, this like Seattle Serpents book, now you're putting out something in February. Like, how do you, I guess, go from like one thing to the next? You kind of have to like take a few weeks, like wipe your brain clean, or are you just like immediately like going?
So it's so weird because like I wrote all of the Carolina Comments books just like back to back to back to back.
Yeah.
You know, no, and nothing else in between. And then I wrote Body Check and Face Off back to back with nothing in between. And then that's a lie. I wrote Body Check, and then I wrote a standalone rom-com for my publisher. And it was my first traditionally published book. And then I was like, oh, I kind of like having this break in between. That was nice to kind of like, you know, get away from that and clear my mind a little bit. And so then I wrote Face Off, and I wrote that like really fast. Like, and I was shocked that, you know, I wrote that as quickly as I did and everything. I was writing like 8,000 to 12,000 words a day. Like it was a lot. And it was just because I couldn't stay away from the characters. I don't think it's just because I love those characters in that book so, so much. I do think it was because I had that like time in between to refresh and everything.
Yeah.
So then after I wrote Face Off, I started Delayed Penalty. And then I had a bunch of crazy health stuff go on. So I had to put that to the side, and I had to write a book for my publisher. So I wrote another rom-com, and after I got done with that, I dove immediately into Delayed Penalty. But I didn't feel like I had like deadlines back to back. And I think it was because I had that break in between the books.
Yeah.
It's just like one of those, like, it's almost like a palate cleanser for my mind, sort of.
I was going to say, I was going to ask, like, is it like your version of a palate cleanser?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I used to not need it, but I think just like the more books that I write, I feel like I do need it just to kind of keep it fresh and exciting. And it turns out I wrote Delayed Penalty really fast too. So I think that's so just funny. What I need from now on.
I was going to say, do
secret to success right there.
Whatever you're doing, it is
keep
working.
Keep it up.
Yes, it's working for us. So keep it up.
So
Delayed Penalty comes out on September 12th. So hopefully if you're listening to this, you've already picked it up. If not, and I hope we've convinced you to pick it up as well as her other works. No pressure, but I hope even after the Seattle Serpents comes to an end that you just move to a different hockey city and do some more there. No pressure, like I said, but
there
I'll read them.
Have been a hint in Delayed Penalty as to what's going to be next.
Going back to reread immediately. I have to reread all three. I have to find Fox's wife, and I have to figure out what's coming next. Okay. No, I got it. I have nothing else to do.
So you'll be getting some messages. It's Teresa doing some research.
And I have all of, like, every time I'm like, ooh, Easter egg. Like, I literally think that I find something. It's always the most batshit crazy. I'm sorry in advance. I'm really bad at taking guesses.
I'm going to get text messages tonight. Like, did you, what about this?
Yeah, no.
People come up with theories. It's the best.
I can only imagine.
They're like so far off. It's like, I never even thought about connecting that or anything.
I am so bad. Like, I will literally be like, oh my God, it must be Bess. Like Quinn's dad dies and then Fox is in love with Beth and it's a reverse age gap. Like, I will come up with the craziest, and it's because I'm always like, it can't be that. It has to be like the least obvious choice. And then I'll just concoct a whole story in my head.
It's not, she will.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
She really will.
I know it's not, but I'll like sit on it for a few days and be like, no, I think that's right.
Now I'm just picturing that. That's hilarious.
I'm just like picturing like Hayes walking in and being like, Fox, what are you doing in my girlfriend's mom's house? And he's like, I'm your new dad.
I feel like if anybody, that would be Keller though. He would be.
It would be Keller.
All about the moms.
He is. Now I'm really thinking about it.
Don't like, give her ammunition.
I know. I'm getting all flustered, like thinking about it. Oh my God, Keller. Okay. I have some time to wait for him, but I'll be thinking about it until then, like, until next year, basically.
I think Keller's going to surprise a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Really
excited for it.
I'm excited. I really am going to be thinking about it a lot. So I do apologize that if I do go back and like start just like sending you every like woman's name that comes up, I'm just going to be like, is it her?
And then I'll probably have to go back through and be like, who is this person?
Who is she talking about? Yeah.
She'll be like, no, like not.
Block. Yeah. Like I'm done with these two.
Yeah. But no, but keep writing. Obsessed. We want to thank you obviously so much for coming on and talking to us. And I mean, if you had as much fun as we did, like then you're more than welcome to back after your next release. And by then I'll definitely have every theory.
She'll come with a notebook.
Yeah.
Yeah, just come with a notebook and just a map.
Yeah.
I did have that again.
I don't know how to theorize, so I don't. It's like I'm here for the ride. I'll find out when I find out.
Yeah.
I'll be like, here, read this. I'll read like, you're batshit fucking crazy.
He's in love with the room. There's a Roomba, and no, I like really will go crazy. Like I highlight everything, and I'm like, this might mean something. And it's just like they use plastic bags instead of paper, and I'm like, that might mean something. It never does.
They love the environment.
We love him. We love a man who loves the environment. So that might mean that he's gonna go. Seriously, it's crazy.
It is.
I'm smiling right now.
Yes, she is.
I feel like that happens so often, though. Like, have you ever seen that meme where it's like, oh, the room was painted blue because of the mood, and there's like this big long explanation, and it's like, yeah, the author, no, the room was fucking blue because that's the only color I could think of at the time.
Yeah. Yes,
that's exactly like it's, how it is.
It's honestly, I blame it all on mostly on TikTok, because I've been a Taylor Swift fan my whole life and I've never been an Easter egg hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And then I like watch a TikTok with like Easter eggs and I'm like, oh my God,
like, this must apply to everything.
This verse has 13 words in it and it's on a verse that mentions a snake. So Reputation TV coming 9/12, the same day as delayed penalty. Like, yes.
Okay, first of all, that would be amazing. I would be first in line for that. Yes, please.
We're all waiting for it, right? Like, we all are wearing clown makeup. It's coming.
Yes.
I mean, legitimately, though, the VMAs are 9/11, I think. And they're saying she's going to announce Reputation TV at the VMAs. So that's the day before delayed penalty. So maybe she'll drop it on 9/13.
I mean, the VMAs would make perfect sense.
Right?
It would.
See? I like where this is going. And then Fox marries Taylor Swift in the next book.
There's the next book. I don't even have to write it.
Just call Teresa. She has all the ideas for you.
Fox is at the VMAs. Taylor Swift has Reputation TV. They fall in love. Sorry, Travis. But Taylor marries a hockey player from Seattle. It's done. I just spoiled the next book. I'm sorry.
Well, I hope they still pick it up on April 10th.
And this is why you don't write.
This is why I don't write. My husband's always like, you should write a book. And I'm like, it would be insane.
You know how many?
It would be the bestseller because of how shitty it'd be.
It would be so bad. It would be so bad. There would be like 13 chapters just about a cat because like I'm obsessed with my cat. It would just be batshit crazy.
Hey, animals are great side characters, so.
Yeah, no, they do. Oh, I will say that too. Like in with Lawson and Rory, like with Daisy and like the dog, just the dog and the cat.
Perfect.
Hades is the cat.
Say less.
I know.
Perfect.
I love that name.
Perfect. And he's like, oh, and he finds a pup. Oh my God, no, it's so good. Okay, sorry. No, I'm not going to get into it. I'm done, I swear. I'm like, I said goodbye to you like 10 minutes ago, I think.
It's a Midwest goodbye. It's okay.
No, it's also an Italian, like Jersey, yeah, yeah. Italian goodbye. One time, my this is the last thing, I swear. It's Christmas. My mother-in-law says goodbye. We're at like the family Christmas party. 2 hours later,
she's still there.
I go into the kitchen. There. She's still there with her coat on and her hat. I said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Bye to you 2 hours ago." She's like, and she's holding a glass of wine. She's like, "Oh, but I got to chit-chatting." Oh, and I was like, "Yeah, yeah."
I grew up in the Midwest. We start saying goodbye like 2 hours before we're actually like intending to leave. So
You have to. Because like say goodbye and then someone's like, "Oh, you're leaving? Wait, hold on a sec. I have to tell you something." And then it's like 4 hours later. And now you also can't drive because they've been filling your cup.
Yeah. Totally get it.
Yeah. All right. For real this time. Thank you so much for joining
us. Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It was great chatting with you.
It was amazing chatting with you.
I'm so sorry about Teresa and her unhinged theories.
No wonder at all.
But well, this has been awesome. Yeah. Thank you again.
I was gonna say thank you so much. Good luck with the release. When this comes out, it'll already be released, but good luck with the release. And then good luck with the writing of the next two books.
I can't wait.
The rom-com and then, Fox's book. And good luck in the next hockey. Yeah, I can say it. I'm like, unless we meet in the playoffs, I hope that the Blues do very well next season.
I hope they do too. At least better than last season.
Well, yeah, no, same. I'm really fingers. I'm like, this is really our year this year. I feel it.
This is our year.
We say it every year. I'm like, how could we get any worse? And then we do. Yeah. With every good young player on the, again, I digress. But if you ever want to talk hockey, DMs are open.
Yeah, I was like, don't get me started on that because I could go on forever.
No, same. I'm thinking so many things right now. So I will. No, this is really it. This is our last goodbye. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See ya, fuckers.